Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, it's so great to have you all here tonight. We're excited to continue the cities that the people of Israel battled as they're taking on the Promised Land bits at a time. And it's been such an amazing study, and God's really stopped us in this chapter 10 in a way, to be honest, that we didn't initially anticipate. Believe it or not, when we first went through this portion of chapter 10, Asam and I looked at each other and we were like, well, we can do it in a night. We can do it in one Bible study. Didn't quite work out that way. And thankfully so, because really God wanted us to pause and take a deeper look at every city and what these cities signify in our life, how they apply to our life, what the internal battles are that we face that really are mirrored here in these battles that the people of Israel took on, led by Joshua. So last week, we've talked about several cities. We talked about the giants in Hebron, where last week we talked about Debir and the spirit of religion and the activity of religious activity taking the place of true relationship with the Lord. And we talked about how the people of God kind of mi almost missed Debir, had to go back and check it out, because sometimes that particular battle is not very obvious. It's not very clear, because it can be easily ingrained in all of us, even believers that have been around for a long time and do have a relationship with the Lord, but we get caught up in the activity that substitutes really the true meaningful relationship that God has for us. So today we're moving on to verse 41. Go ahead.
No, I would just like going back to the beer. Unfortunately, last week I couldn't really speak, so I know you guys missed me so much, of course. And see, Pastor Edwin agrees. That's right, haters, all of you. Only Pastor Edwin got me. really, like honestly, this even not only that we thought we were gonna do this whole chapter or like this all of these in one. But the beer was like one of those things that we had like a couple of comments about it. But then when we started digging deep, I'm like, what is this? This is what we do. This is a big problem in our lives. The problem of not just religion, traditions, and getting used to doing the same thing over and over and over. Pastor Al puts it very well. He goes, just going through the motions, just doing the same thing over and over. Going to Sundays, going to Wednesdays, going to this, going to that. But is it really changing us? Is it really helping us? Am I really seeing Christ every time? One of the things we say every morning when we pray together, we don't want to say the same stuff every day. We don't want to just repeat the same things. One day, okay, let's see what we're praying for today. And we're trying to find something new, because we need that change. I think I told you guys the story before. And sorry that I'm going back to the beer, not because I didn't speak last week. I'm, making it up this week. Not that you didn't do a wonderful and awesome job,
I
but
mean, certainly.
it's one of the things that really that convict me personally. It's that getting used to stuff, Even if you're working out and you're doing the same thing over and over and over, it will come to a time where it's not going to be beneficial to you anymore. Because you're just doing the same thing. Your muscles, your body already figured it out. One of the things I think I shared at church, and I share when I speak actually at like work events and stuff like that. It's the story when we got our dog. And this story will tell you how the human brain works, right? When we got Gracie a dog last year, we had this little gate for it. Dina went and got this little dog gate. But it's not your normal dog gate that's like, ugly and stuff. No, she went and got something like really special, wooden, woodwork, beautifully done. And she would put it in the kitchen area so the dog wouldn't go out. And it was about 2 feet tall, right? And I wouldn't move the gate. I would just usually step over it, right? It's easier. I usually have stuff in my hand. I have my coffee. I have maybe the laundry basket. Easily, I just step over it, step over it, step over it. And then, like a few weeks in, I'm trying to step over it and I trip and I almost fall. I was like, what happened? I was like, oh, maybe I just, it was my leg day and I just didn't step over it high enough. That was going into the kitchen. Leaving the kitchen, same thing happens. I almost trip and I almost fell, right? This didn't just happen once or twice. This happened almost for 2 full weeks. And I am every time I try to step over that thing, I almost trip and fall. And then Dina and I are out having our Saturday coffee, enjoying, some sand time. And Dina goes, "Hey, do you like this new gate that I just bought for Bear?" And I was like, "New gate?" And she's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, the one that you got." And I was like, "Yeah, the one that you got a few months ago when when we bought the dog." She said, "No. The old one, it became so light that he actually knocks it over. I bought a new one that's about 3.5 or 3 feet tall, that's a little bit heavier, much stronger, so he can't." I was like, "When did you get this?" And she was like, "I don't know, about 2 weeks ago." I was like, "Oh, since I started falling." A whole new gate came into the place of the old gate, but I was used to the old one for about 6 weeks or so that I have decided that I'm gonna do the same thing over and over, even though the obstacle was changed, even though the level was changed. But that's what we do. We get comfortable with one thing and it's over. That's what we do best. We don't want to leave that comfort zone. Do you know why the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law missed it? Jesus was right in front of them, was talking to them. Sometimes they were reciting things from the Old Testament that point directly to Jesus, who is in front of them, and they still missed him. They're standing in front of that little lake or that little pool waiting for that water. And Jesus, with a loud voice, saying that I am the living water. I am the living water. What you're doing was a picture of the rock that was striken by Moses, who was a rock who, that w which was a picture of me, because the real water, the living water, will come out of me. And Jesus standing in front of them, telling them, I am the original meaning of what you're doing, and they still missed it. That's the beer. That's the beer in our lives. And it's a really good thing to turn around every now and then and to examine our hearts. Do I come to Bible study because it's the beer, because it's the tradition, because it's the religion? Or am I coming really to be in the presence of God? Am I leading Bible study just because the pastor or someone from the church or someone told me that, oh, go ahead and lead it? Or am I really seeking God to learn and to come and share with my brothers and sisters? Otherwise, it's the beer. It's the beer. And I pray that we would all conquer the beers today, that we would really examine our heart, come before God and say, Lord, find every piece of religion in me. Find every piece of tradition in me. Don't let the tradition of the country we live in, don't let the tradition of the nationality where I'm from or my family's from, don't let the tradition of my church and the believers group that I'm in, don't let any traditions come between you and me. But why don't you surprise me with something new? Are we open for surprises from God? Are we open for him to come and say, oh, no, you got this all wrong. That's not really what I meant. Because that's what Jesus was telling the scribes and the Pharisees all this time, and they missed it. They missed it. They wanted to just make everything look very pretty on the outside, pretty, nice, and like, the nice clean robes and the very flowy robes and all of these things that they were, and the big hats. And Jesus was like, can we just put these things aside and just examine our hearts? Because what matters is the heart, not the outside. That's the beer. And this is something that we all need to really, before God, look at and come back to God and say, show me something new today. Show me something that I'm used to. Show me the gate that I keep tripping on. You know, show me that thing that I'm used to. You know, whatever it is, just show me what it is that I'm used to and take me to that new uncomfortable place with you. You know, it might be uncomfortable in the beginning, but it would lead to eternal comfort with him. As soon as our eyes are open to it, as soon as we get that revelation from God, it will turn everything around. Now we can get to verse 41. And that was all on my heart to share last week, but honestly, I just couldn't. And Dina, you did an amazing job, of course. Today, verse 41. Go ahead and read it, please.
Joshua, verse 41. Joshua subdued them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza and from the whole region of Goshen to Gibeon. All these kings and their lands Joshua conquered in one campaign because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel.
That's
such an amazing verse. It's interesting as we transition from like speaking about each individual city to sort of like a region. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these regions, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, are border cities. They're cities that bordered the promised land. And many of these cities were also cities where the people of Israel had been before. They're cities that they lived in, and none more than the first one that's referenced here, Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is a city where many, many things happen. Kadesh is often referenced in Numbers and in Deuteronomy, and it really wasn't until Asam and I started like really studying this town where we found some like really interesting little tidbits. And let's see what God speaks to us about our internal Kadesh battle today. So this border city of Kadesh, again, was frequently camped on by the people of Israel. Lots of things happened there, including Miriam, Moses' sister, was actually buried there in this very spot. And the people of Israel wandered there and landed as they wandered often. And one of the most notable things about Kadesh Barnea was where the spies went out. When the spies went out to look at the promised land, right when they were on the border, that this is where they were. So we're going to talk very specifically about like all the things that it sort of represents. But I just want to say a little bit about it being a border city, because I thought about this a lot. Like, why did they go out from the promised land and conquer all these border cities along the promised land? And it was interesting that they kind of took out these things that were strongholds, if you will, in their life and in the history of their people for a very long time. And Kadesh was one of those cities that had a history that was ugly for the people of Israel. And sometimes, even after we've entered the promised land, God calls us to do some digging in our past. God calls us to do some digging in our border cities. In the cities where maybe we spent some time in, prior to really entering the fullness that God has for us. And I will tell you, those cities are painful. Digging in those spaces can be really, really painful because there are some old skeletons there that mark our disbelief and our wandering and our lack of faith. But God sometimes wants us to attack those things in order for us to be able to move forward into the promised land.
So as Dina said, one of the most memorable things about this place, there are a few things. If you go back and read a lot about it, it was mentioned several times in the Word of God. But when it's when it's connected with the Israelites, one of the first things that it happened there is that when the spies came back, they came back with the report in Numbers 13 with the report, and they came back carrying the fruit. So here they are. Moses is with them. They are on the edge of the promised land. The spies come back. The Lord tells Moses, go ahead and send people to spy on the land. And I want you to hear this word and hold on to it. Go ahead and send people and spy on the land that I am giving you. Okay? This is very important. So when you're sending someone, you're sending them to take a look at the place that I'm giving you. Look how great it is. Okay? We're not telling you this is the place that you and I have to come up with a strategy together. This is the place I might or might not. This is not the place I'm thinking. No, go and look at the place that I am giving you. That's what the Lord said. The 12 spies go, 10 of them, they come back carrying the fruit, and the fruit that they came back carrying were huge, right? But then they say, but the people who lived there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak and the Amaleks live there, and we cannot go there and take this. The people, what happened to them? The people wept and rebelled against Moses. You know, see, in our journey with God, God gives us a lot of promises, right? God gives us a lot of promises. He gives us a new promises of righteousness, promises of that being filled with the Holy Spirit, promises of peace, promises of joy, promises, so many promises. And then we look around us and we see trouble. The first thing we do is rebel against God. Instead of believing God, instead of believing that Jesus died on the cross to take care of sin, instead of believing that Jesus is resurrected from death, from the dead, and now sitting on the throne and interceding for us, and his righteousness became our righteousness, and instead of getting up and fighting again, we rebel against the God and against the idea of salvation. We think that we're not saved. We think that God is not with us. We think that the enemy is stronger. We think of so many things. We focus on every obstacle that we see instead of focusing on the promises that God gave us. God told Moses, go spy on the land that I'm giving you. God told you and me, today is a new day. Today we are a new creation. Today our debt has been paid. Today that we resurrect with Christ. Today is the day we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the disciples in John 16 and 17 that when I go, I will send you the Spirit who will comfort you. I can't give you everything right now. I cannot tell you everything right now. But the Spirit will lead you, because you cannot handle it right now. You cannot handle everything right now, but the Spirit will lead you, will teach you, will speak on your behalf, will guide you, will convict you, will do all of these things for you. That's what God has promised. But then we come into the first obstacle, and then we feel like this was all fake. None of this was real. That's what the Israelites did in Kadesh. Another time, they're in Kadesh, they're thirsty, they're tired, they're grumpy, and they look up and they're like, why are we here? What are we doing here? We've been wandering here for so long. What brought us here? You know, and they start to rebel against Moses. What happened? Moses strike the rock another time. But this time, instead of speaking to the rock as God told him, and water comes flowing from the rock. Another time, in the same place of Kadesh, you know, the sons of Korah, these people that tagged along with the Israelites, you know, you can read this in Numbers 16, all rose up and brought so many other elders and came against Moses, and they were like, now we are mature, now we know that we are doing, we gathered so many other elders with us, what makes you and Aaron think that you are better than us? And they rebelled against Moses. And we know the rest of the story, that the earth very much opened and swallowed them. You know, Kadesh is the place where every time the people of Israel faced a little bit of difficulty, they rebelled and they grumbled and they accused Moses and God of not knowing what they're doing. Let me ask you a question. Does that feel like a similar place? Does that feel like a familiar place to any of us? A place when I don't see all of my needs are being met. Where is the water? Where are the bills? Where are the money? Where is this? Where is that? The first thing I do, I rebel against God. The place when I see danger coming against me and I see the giants and I see the difficulties, even though God has told me and promised me specifically that this place is for me, that He is giving me this place as a gift, and I rebel against Him. A place when people come against me, the first thing I want to do is defend myself. Or when I see someone, God is blessing someone, like the sons of Korah. When I see God is blessing my brothers and sisters with gifts that I don't have. And instead of looking for what God wants me to do, I go against my brother and sister and say, no, you're not supposed to do that. I can do this instead of you. It's the spirit of rebellion. It's the spirit of thinking that I am no better than God. I know better than my brothers and sisters. God has not given me what I deserve. What do you deserve? When the Israelites were grumbling against Moses, I'm sorry, what did you have in Egypt that you missed so much? What did we have in this world that we missed so much? What was so good about being enslaved to the devil, to the demons, to this world, to the flesh? What was so good about it? Why did they keep saying to Moses, oh, we wish we didn't leave Egypt? When I face difficulties, what is so good in my old life that I keep throwing it in God's face and say, you know, I wish I never committed my life or surrendered my life to you? It's the place of rebellion. It's the place of feeling that I know better, the place where I feel I deserve better. It's the place of not really seeing the journey through. But as soon as I see something difficult, I'm ready to do what? I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to just, that's not the place for me. You read about this place over and over, and here they are. And here they are. But this was when they were fighting on the outside. Now they're fighting that within. Now they're fighting from inside. Okay? They just got rid of religion. They just got rid of self-sufficiency. They just got rid of the sinful nature. They just got rid of so many things. Now it's time to deal with that very mean streak in us. You know, that rebels really quick. Honestly, just ask yourself this question and be honest to it. What was so good in my previous life that as soon as something comes my way in my Christian walk, something unexpected, something that God is using to help me, to build me, to strengthen me, you know, I am ready to give up. I am ready to give up. How many times did they tell Moses, you know, we wish we did not leave Egypt. We wish did not leave. We wish we were still there. Really? What are you wishing for? What was so good there? This is Kadesh.
One of the things about Kadesh that what really kind of struck me is that a lot of this rebellion stems from disappointment, and that disappointment often comes from the pride of feeling like I have a better plan for my life than God has for me. My way of salvation, that's what the people of Israel were saying. They were saying, you know, when they said to Moses, strike this rock, or when Moses struck the rock, what they said to him is, why'd you take us out of Egypt and bring us to this desert that has nothing, not even water? They didn't see that they had fallen into this space of rebellion. They had drawn away from God. They'd been wandering and wandering and wandering, and were in a space where it was no longer what God wanted for them, no longer the way that God wanted for them into the promised land. No, it was the way that they wanted for themselves. And that sort of like self-sufficiency that we've talked about, those giants, all these things kind of build on one another and create a situation where we basically want to be our own God. We want it our way, not God's way. That inevitably creates disappointment. And then instead of that disappointment being a cause for us to run to God and fall to him, it often is a cause for us to rebel against him and say, see, you should have just let us die. You should have just let this end. And so I know that many of us have probably struggled with or will struggle with rebellion. It's not something that goes away easily because it's really part of our sin nature that's in us. It's part of the thing in us that wants us to be bigger than God.
And the fact that God is bringing up all of these things, whether it's you know, the beer or Kaddish or any of these things, I have an encouraging word for you. It says here, all these kings and their lands Joshua conquered in one campaign because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. So I want to encourage you today as we read these things, as you know, like honestly, when we're reading it and these things, are, when we're studying it and we're talking about it, I'm feeling the guilt. Like, I see this in myself. I see that spirit of rebellion in myself, right? And I'm like, how am I going to go speak to people about the spirit of rebellion where I see it in so many areas in my life? How am I going to speak to people about, you know, traditions and religion and the beer and all of that while I see these things in my life? Because we agreed that when we come, we agreed that when we're doing Bible study, we're not coming to teach. We're coming to learn, right? And we're coming to be changed. That's the main reason for this whole thing that we're doing right now, is to change, is to become more and more like Christ. But then that word comes very encouraging to me, because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel, fought for us. So when I am faced with my rebellion spirit, you know what? God can fight that for me. Mm-hmm. When I am faced with the religious spirit, God can fight that for me. When I see my pride, just like Dina shared right now, you know, they thought they deserve better. They thought they can do it better. They thought that other people have it better. They thought that I am better. I should be in your place. All of this happened in Kaddish. All of that spirit of rebellion happened in Kaddish. But there is good news that the God of Israel fought and won these battles for them. And he can fight and win these battles for us. Before we move on to the next one, let's open it up for discussion.
Yeah, let's open because it up for discussion.
This is a big topic. This is a big topic. And everyone from A to Z, if you start with Adam and Eve,
yes.
You will see they started. God told them something and they went and did something completely different. Jesus told the disciples, go and wait for me in Jerusalem, right? Until I come and see you. Guess what they did? They ran, they left him. And then when they all got together, one of them said, you know what? Going back to fishing. Everyone, that's rebellion. That's, they went against what God had told them. They did not stay and waited for Jesus as he asked them to do. They went and did something else. It's the spirit of rebellion again and again and again. You go through the word of God, one after another had that trouble and had that problem. When we examine our hearts, we see that we all just maybe a little bit of rebellion.
Yeah, so let's open it up. Unmute yourselves, please. Feel free to share, talk. Let's get through Kadesh here, and if we have time, we'll move on to the next city. If not, we'll stop here today. You don't share, we move on to another city. Just letting you know.
Edwin, were you going to say something?
Just a little comment here that, you know, when Joshua conquered Libna, right? And then he compares what he did to the other king before. You know, he said they did to the king what they have done to the king of Jericho. And then when he conquered Lachish, the same thing, you know, he says they did the same thing as where's the thing? Sorry.
There you go.
I have to be in denial. So he is, when he conquers one city, and he said, he did the same thing as he did to Jericho, and then to the next city, compared like he to the other city before. So in each city that he conquered, he did something special, different. Each city that he compared, you know, as I did to Jericho, as I did to Lachish, as I did to Eglon, you know. So what is any difference in the accomplishment type of, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think the word of God is very specific here on the way they conquered or their strategy in battle specifically. Which to me is a reason for us to not focus on that piece as much as we need to focus on what they battled. How they battled seems to be up to the Lord here. There are some specific battles that there was like very specific strategy that the Word of God discusses specifically. One, two, three, this is how you win the war. This is how they won the war. But here, it seems to me that God's pointing to something else specifically in the word, that there's an absence of something for us to really keep our eyes on something else. And it would appear to be that the cities were the issue here. The individual cities that they took on, and what those symbolized are really what God's after pointing at in this part of passage. That's just my take. I don't know. Anybody else have another take on it?
I completely agree with that. And you know what? I really appreciate how you broke down the name and the meaning of every city. So Debir happens to be religion, right? The religiosity part. I looked up Kadesh Barnea. And it says the holy place of desert wanderings. So I love how you zeroed in on the rebellion piece, because that's my heart. That's what we all struggle with, if we're going to be honest. But if you zoom out just a little bit and look at the actual name of the city, the holy place of desert wanderings, and they landed there. You said earlier in the beginning, you said that they landed there often.
Yeah.
And the name of that city is mentioned often. And then Dina said, it's often mentioned as a border city. So here's the way I'm looking at this. It's the opportunity that God placed them in to get them rid of their rebellion.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's a border city means they are this close to getting to the other side.
Right.
And they can almost taste it, because the fruit is extraordinary. But their eyes are on the wrong thing. Their eyes are on their obstacles. You mentioned earlier, my eyes are on the bills. My eyes are on what's not happening. My eyes are on what somebody else has. my eyes, and it's not focused on where it needs to be. And so I'm missing the point entirely. So they'll keep going back to Kadesh Barnea over and over again. What's wrong? They'll keep looking, they'll keep going back to that place until they finally will get the lesson. Unfortunately, the first generation completely missed the lesson and died in the wilderness. And so here's Joshua 2.0, if you will. Here's their second opportunity. And now they're getting victory because God had already given them victory. It's just that the first group that came through didn't capitalize on it. But the second group following Joshua, keeping their eyes fixed on Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, had victory because God gave them the victory.
Right.
The victory was theirs all along. They just needed to keep their eyes fixed in that particular place. So when I go through a dry season, I'm sorry, do you guys mind if I just share for a minute?
Come on, preach.
When we go through a dry place for a season, it's intentional. God knows exactly what I need in the moment that I need it. He knows how to provide the resources, if it's the money that I need or the support that I need. He knows how to provide all of that. He's getting my heart ready to fix my eyes on him so I can be in communion with him, because he wants to show me that he is my victory, not my ingenuity, not my talent, not my skills, not my networking of people or anything else. He is my victory. And so if I keep going back to that place, it's really an opportunity. So some people get all depressed and frustrated when they go back into that wilderness place. Really, we should be like thanking God, saying, you're willing to teach me this lesson again. And even if I keep stepping over the fence and missing it and spilling my coffee again, you're gonna pull me to the side eventually and tell me, hey, listen, we've moved some things around. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to miss this. This is an opportunity because you are on the edge. You are on the border of experiencing some fruit that you've never seen or tasted before in your life. And it's going to be such a blessing for you and have a ripple effect to everyone in your sphere of influence.
Amen. That's good.
Awesome.
Not sure where the question was in there, but.
No, yeah. There's no question. It's questions or comments, please.
Because Kadesh means kudus, holy, right? And Barnea is close to Berea, which means the wilderness. It's the holiness. It's the wilderness of holiness. And that's where God is taking us to sometimes, the wilderness of holiness. It may seem like a punishment. It may seem like a problem, but really it's an opportunity. So we should be thanking God. If I'm going through this right now, which we do from time to time, we all do, it's an opportunity to thank God and say, Lord, thank you for this opportunity because you're taking me to a new level, because you're showing me that now I'm on the edge. I'm on the border. A breakthrough.
It's also a great warning, right? Because the people of Israel, when they went into that space, into that wilderness, instead of embracing it and figuring out a way to draw closer to God, draw closer to what he had for them, they rebelled instead and they pulled away. So it's a great warning for us. Kadesh Barnea was the closest that they got to the promised land before entering. And actually, they kind of circled back. They went further away after being there. But it was the closest. They were right there before entering it. And they chose to leave.
So when we face difficulties, when we face obstacles, the answer isn't to quit. The answer isn't to grumble against God or rebel against God. The answer is found in Jesus himself. That he gladly went through the cross because he found joy there. What's the joy? The joy is what will happen after the cross. The joy is what will happen in terms of salvation to all of his beloveds, for you and me. You know, we're going to go through tough times. We're going to go through the wilderness. We all do. And it's going to continue happening. But this is not to break us. This is to change us. This is to encourage us. I read something yesterday when Jesus said, be in peace, like you will in this world you'll have troubles and tribulations, but be in good heart that I have overcome the world. And someone said, we always feel like we're bracing for
Impact.
impact, but instead we should be preparing for victory. Let me say that again. And instead of bracing for impact, like, oh, this life, tomorrow, this season, this sickness, this month, this, that, instead of always feeling like, oh, I'm just gonna brace for the next thing, no, I'm gonna prepare for victory. I'm gonna keep my eyes focused on the hope that I have in Christ. Does that mean the pain is gonna go away? No, the pain is not gonna go away. Eventually it will, but for now, I'm letting God do and complete his work in my life. I'm not going to rebel against him. I'm not going to grumble against him. I'm going to let his perfect will come into my life. We pray this all the time. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, right? And when he starts doing his will into our life, no, we don't want you to do our will in our life, because his will sometimes, includes a little bit of challenges. Includes those dry seasons. If that dry season is not to kill us out of thirst, the water is coming. They were wandering in the desert for 40 years. He provided water and food and everything that they needed and more. We are here today because God has been taking care of us and will continue to take care of us. There is no reason to grumble today. There is no reason to rebel today. It just, we're inches away. We're inches away from what he has promised.
I believe something that may be helpful is the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. It speaks about the reason why they didn't enter was because of their unbelief. I think what it boils down to, because you said the answer is in Jesus, right? And all of us know that. But the question is, how do I tap into that and find the victory? And this is the victory that overcame the world, even their faith. So I have to learn to exercise that muscle of faith in order for me to attain, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. In other words, I won't be able to fully dive in and rest on his promises if I'm not walking in that walk of faith. And everything that we've seen Joshua go through, it's been a walk of faith, whether it's crossing the Jordan, that took a lot of faith. Walking around Jericho, that took faith. Every opportunity they had, every challenge they had, it took a step of faith. And so exercising that faith muscle really is going to be the key. And so how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And that's why we're doing Bible study, going through scripture, and fellowshipping with one another. It helps us to grow our faith so we can find that place of victory in him.
I encourage all of us today to revisit our Kaddish, the place of rebellion. Just revisit it. Just between you and God, maybe between you and someone you love, visit those situations where you rebelled against God, where you accuse the God of not caring, accuse the God of not providing, accuse the God of doing something that he shouldn't have done. Revisit those, but this time revisit it with that spirit of, Lord, I messed it up the first time. I didn't understand you the first time. Help me understand you now. Give me the strength to overcome it. This might not my own strength, because your strength and my strength, we're going to do exactly what they did and even worse, right? We've done it before. But I want to go back to those situations, and I want to really come back before God and ask him to open my eyes this time. So next time, if it happens, I will be well prepared to face it in thanksgiving, in joy, in knowing, in faith and trust that God's still in control. That God's still in control.
Amen. Amen. Anyone have anything else you'd like to ask or comment on? Okay, well, you hit that sweet spot where we can't go on to the next city. But we'll give you 10 minutes back of your life. How's that?
All right.
Okay. Let's pray. Dalia, you want to pray for us?
Father, we just thank you for your amazing love for us, and we thank you that you fight every battle. God, and I'm reminded of the fact that we are to come and lean on you. And your word tells us that as we trust, as we surrender, God, you direct our every step. We thank you that you take us from a season of life to season of life. And it's there, Lord God, that you reveal yourself. I'm reminded of the fact that you are the one that allures us into the wilderness. And it is there that you speak loving kindness towards us. We thank you for your tenderness. We thank you for your grace over our lives. We thank you for your hand and mercy and your love for us that never fails. God, we dedicate our lives in fully trusting in you, that you will guide us and lead us, and knowing that he who began a good work is absolutely faithful to complete it to the very end. So Lord, we take us by the hand and lead us through the wilderness and out of the wilderness, Father God, so that we would experience the fullness and the glory of God and all of the inheritance that we have in you. We simply yield and surrender, and we ask that you would just guide, lead, direct, and that your name through every circumstance and situation be glorified in our lives. And we thank you for your goodness and kindness. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.